Sarah Womby. From today, cancer sufferers and people recovering from stroke will have cheaper access to some treatments. Three new medicines will be added to the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, giving patients the treatment they need at an affordable price. It's part of a $27 million investment from the federal government. Ministerial expenses in Queensland have increased by 36% in just 3 years. According to the public report of ministerial expenses for 2018-19, expenses for ministers came to more than $43 million. That's $11.7 million more than compared to the same report in 2015-16. Opposition Deputy Tim Mander says the money would be better spent elsewhere.
Queenslanders want their Premier focused on improving services. Making sure we've got a lower crime rate, improving our hospitals, reducing congestion, getting better school results.
A veteran competitive woodchopper has died at the Royal Adelaide Show. The man is understood to have suffered a medical episode when emergency services were called to the woodchopping arena just after 4:30 yesterday afternoon. He was treated at the scene but died shortly after. Firefighters have extinguished a blaze at a popular CBD nightclub in Melbourne. The Billboard nightclub on Russell Street was safely evacuated after a fire broke out behind the stage area. Investigations are continuing. Direct flights between Perth and Tokyo will commence today in what is slated to be a boom for local tourism. Sean Bindley has more.
WA's beloved quokkas have been popping up all over Tokyo in the tourism push, which Tourism Minister Paul Papalia hopes will attract Japanese travellers to the state. The All Nippon Airways flights will be the first service flying direct between Perth and Japan since 2011. Sean Bindley, Air News.
An Afghan man seeking asylum in France has been detained after one person was fatally stabbed and nine others injured outside a subway station near the city of Lyon. A manhunt was initially launched for a second attacker, but police later determined that the 33-year-old detained man was the main suspect. In the US, Madeleine Westerhout is the latest Trump aide to be fired. She served as his personal secretary and lost her position for speaking to reporters. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
Nothing is ever truly off the record in American politics. Madeleine Westerhout served a particularly sensitive role in the Trump White House, his personal secretary literally guarding the door to the Oval Office. Losing her job for indiscreet admissions to reporters over a wine-soaked dinner in New Jersey, Ms. Westerhout confessed uncomfortable truths, that Tiffany Trump is struggling with weight gain and other things Donald Trump doesn't like about his family. President Trump insists she cannot write a tell-all book because, as he's tweeted, there's a fully enforceable non-disclosure agreement. Except that's unlikely to hold up in a federal court because Madeleine Westerhout is actually an employee of the U.S. government and the American taxpayer and not directly employed by Donald Trump. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Briefly, four people are dead, one has been injured and another missing after a helicopter crashed in northern Norway. And the former president of Sudan, Omar Bashir, has been charged with corruption and dealing in foreign currency. This is Air News. Melbourne Storm have clinched the minor premiership by beating Manly 36-6 at Brookvale. Coach Craig Bellamy says he was pleased with how his team performed.
We liked most of what we've seen, but you know, until we go back and have a look, and we had a lot go our way in the game. Obviously, with you know, we got a lot of line dropouts in the first half and the second half. You know, the Seagulls made a fair few errors, so just looking back, we'll see what we've got.
The Roosters have defeated the Panthers 22-6 in their round 24 game. The win lands the Roosters in the top two, and the Newcastle Knights too good for the Titans, winning 38-4. In Super Netball, the Sunshine Coast Lightning has advanced to the grand final with a 58-48 win over the New South Wales Swifts. The Swifts will play the winner of today's Melbourne Vixens and Collingwood match next week. Mitch Marsh, Mitchell Starc, Usman Khawaja and a sick Marcus Harris have given selectors plenty to think about, with Australia easing to an innings and 54-run win over Derbyshire in an Ashes Tour game. Jeff Horn has been defeated by Michael Zarafa in the WBA. In the English Premier League, Manchester United and Southampton have drawn at 1-1, wins to Leicester City, Crystal Palace, West Ham, Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City. And at the Belgium Grand Prix, 22-year-old Formula 2 driver Antoine Hubert has been killed in a 160-mile-per-hour collision during a sprint race at the track. Organisers have cancelled the Formula 2 race. Australian Independent Radio News.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
Lenny the Shark.
Racing in the Miracle Mile, the 50th running. Lazarus and our Waikiki Beach are trying to wind up. The leader narrowly is Lenny the Shark. Smolder and Lazarus, they're trying to close, but Lenny's trying to lift. Here's Smolder on the inside. Lenny the Shark and Smolder. Lenny's just in front. I think he might have got there. Lenny the Shark, a nose to Smolder.
Lenny the Shark.
Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, where there's a value for money stallion for everyone. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Saxon Warrior, unbeaten Group 1 winner at 2.
Saxon Warrior, Ryan is galvanising and through on the far side. It's history for Aidan O'Brien. Saxon Warrior won the racing post.
Brilliant 2,000 guineas winner at 3.
Now it's Saxon Warrior in front. Saxon Warrior has won by a length and a half.
One of the best and fastest sons of Deep Impact. Out of an unbeaten European champion 2-year-old. Saxon Warrior, new for 2019 at Coolmore.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yep.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
The NRL about to dump a Sydney side.
Exceedance, he went straight past Bivouac.
Exceedance makes a statement at Rosehill.
The Manly Seagulls tonight, an unmitigated disaster.
Manly in disarray, Tommy T out for the season.
Beauty. Mitchell Stark plays his way into the fourth test team.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day to everyone who is listening in today.
And to those fathers who are no longer with us, it's a chance to pause and reflect on their contributions. Well, to your life and to my life, our fathers are no longer with us. But
well said, Roman.
And happy Father's Day to all today.
Yeah, absolutely. To Frank, the late Frank. Yeah, we remember you. Well, we remember you every day. But anyway, today's one of those special ones. Hope you're having a great start to that day. We are excited about what's coming up over the next 3 hours, Roman. We are...
Where do we start, James?
We've got a massive program on our hands. It would seem, based on the front page of today's Sunday Telegraph, your colleague Phil Rothfield writing, dump an NRL club.
Important story, this. Extremely important. And Buzz has even highlighted potentially three clubs.
Yes.
Cronulla Sharks, Mountie Seagulls and the Gold Coast Titans to get a second team in Brisbane. Is that correct?
So the issue is, rather than just have the second team in Brisbane, and I think everyone on 1353 53, you might want to disagree, but I think everyone believes Brisbane need a second rugby league team, right? They just need 12 more games up there a year. They need that big intercity rivalry between the Broncos and
whoever
Team X.
Yep.
But I think that has been proven across the AFL and across the A-League just how good derbies
are. It works.
Yep. Okay, so we get that. But is it going to be the 17th team or the 16th team following the removal of another side?
Well, you have been a proponent of expansionism. Why can't there be two more sides?
I don't know. Where is there incremental benefit to the league and therefore via ratings and therefore via TV money by having 9 games a weekend as opposed to 8 games a weekend?
I think there would be, wouldn't there?
I would have thought so. The question is... The concern is, does it go up to the degree where the clubs, so this is where club interest comes in, continue to get, whether it be $13 million or 130% of the salary cap, which it would, whatever the number happens to be?
No,
that's
point.
The big question for the clubs.
My second point then is, and I know, probably know your answer here, is there enough talent to spread across an additional two sides?
I'm a believer that there is, and especially given if that second side to come in, e.g. the 18th team to come into the NRL, is a New Zealand-based side. Because if you're looking at derbies... There's three time zones that we'd love to get in. There's Perth, there's Brisbane, and there's Auckland or New Zealand, right? You can only put two in. So is relocation...
Is rugby league strong enough in New Zealand to support two sides?
I think it gets stronger. I think you created immediately 30 new jobs for players. I think you would attract more and more players from rugby union. We know they've got rugby over there. And if you look at the rise and rise of someone like a Mike Acevo, who 4 years ago, Ray, didn't know what rugby league was.
Never played a game.
Never played it. Yeah. Okay, so I think there is the players for that. Mm. And you also satisfy what we're trying to do up there in Brisbane, and that is create a local derby.
Yeah, really interesting debate, isn't it? And it'll unfold, no doubt.
Do you feel vulnerable if you're a Sharkies fan, a Seagulls fan, a Titans fan? Do you feel vulnerable, 13-53-53?
Of those three clubs, Titans.
That's the easy one. That's the least
nothing
painful
one. Nothing works
on
the Gold Coast, sporting-wise, is it?
The problem with that is it's such a growth area.
And it should work. Logically, you would suggest it would work fantastic, but sporting teams don't seem to be successful in that Gold Coast area for whatever reason, Jim.
So I was going to say, is the problem with sport on the Gold Coast, and most notably rugby league, is the problem the Titans, or is the problem an NRL team there? The Titans in their present form, well, they're a basket case and they're hard to support, right?
Yep.
Okay, if you've got a strong club there, and that's an if, if you've got a strong club there that was challenging for the semi, dare I say, made the semi-finals 1 year, does that change things?
It would, wouldn't it?
Of course it would.
Because it's such a huge population base, and logically, logic would suggest a successful sporting franchise should work in the Gold Coast region.
And the other thing is, it's a front line against the AFL.
Absolutely.
It's a front line.
And there's suggestions the AFL are teetering with the Gold Coast anyway as well.
Well, they've put a lot of money into those.
And it's just going backwards.
Huge clubs. Yeah.
Jimmy,
go, Roman.
Storm last night.
Yeah.
Roosters last night.
Yep.
Preview grand final.
I would have thought so.
Mm.
Especially, you know, I was talking during the week, I think Roosters number one, Storm number two, and then a bit of a gap.
Mm.
I thought to Manly number three, Canberra Raiders number four.
Tommy Turbo.
Season gone, Manly. I'm sorry. Season gone.
Dez has worked miracles at Manly this year, but without Tommy Turbo, they can't go deep into September, can they?
As someone pointed out to me, yes, Dez has worked miracles at Manly. Do you realise that if they were to lose next week against the Eels and they were to finish sixth, that they would be finishing in the same position that Trent Barrett took the team to 2 years ago?
Mm, extraordinary, isn't it?
Now, I know what happened in the middle, but that was a disjointed season with Trent Barrett not there for half the year last year and all that sort of thing. But Dez worked miracle, and I'm not saying that discrediting what Dez Hasler has done, but it's funny how the perception...
Scheduling issues. James, you know, you and I tend to be at loggerheads about this.
We do tend to.
Yeah, but I want to throw something at you.
Okay.
This weekend... It's a bye, effectively, in the AFL.
Correct.
The AFL Players Association somehow have managed to convince the AFL that teams that have made the eight, they can have a week off.
So you don't agree with that?
No, it's ridiculous. Momentum. Okay. People are desperate to watch the AFL final. They've got to wait an extra week.
Yep.
Okay, that's not going to go away. Okay, it is what it is now.
Right.
Why doesn't the NRL ensure the Storm are playing in Melbourne that weekend? And why not even try and make a double header, get another game to go to Melbourne, go back to back? You'd pack out 50,000.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a breakthrough moment on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. Ray Thomas is speaking like an entrepreneur. I think that is a fabulous idea. I know we are usually at loggerheads.
You're in a good mood because it's Father's Day. That's the only thing.
That's a great point, Ray.
There you go. Another great. Thanks, Mossy.
Absolutely.
It's constituted every year in the AFL. Take advantage of it.
It's a piece of cake. You know what weekend it is. Just whack on the Storm
and
try and get a second. Okay.
A Storm game, whether it be...
We agree to agree. That's phenomenal.
Why wouldn't you get 28,000 sell out at Amy Park?
You could. And you could even move it across the road.
To Marvel?
Get 50,000.
Marvel?
Yeah. Either. You'd get a smashing weekend. And anyway.
Ray Thomas, tick, tick. Well, here's another one for you. And it was brought up by Jeff on Twitter. last night. And I thought, gee, it was an interesting point. And it comes back, I might have to contradict myself a little here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we move on with that anyway. done that before. Next week, on Friday, the Eels are due to play the Seagulls in the 6 p.m. game.
Yep.
That has great relevance.
Correct.
About a top
cracking game
and,
of footy. Yeah.
And a good game of footy, right? Mm. Despite the fact that Tommy T's not there.
Yep.
The 8 o'clock game is the Storm versus the Cowboys down there in Melbourne.
Mm.
They'll flog them.
This has came back to my point from last week.
I understand that. Could you play the 6 o'clock game at 8? Would you go to the broadcasters and
why
say...
Why wouldn't you do that?
Say to Channel 9 and say to Fox League, and Fox League might think, well, hang on, we've got the better game. Mm. We don't want to give it up. But in the interest of getting a bigger audience, and by the way, there's been a bit of mention throughout Sun Herald today about TV audiences and Danny Wilde. I'll have a response to that a little bit later on in the program. But could you flip those around?
I would. And this is what we were saying last week. Be more flexible with your scheduling. Put the best game on in prime time.
There you go. There you go. Raymond, you're really winning me over.
I can't believe it. It's only taken about 10 years for me to almost be on the same page.
hey, breakthrough.
Hey, Jeff Horn. Gee, I must preface this by saying I haven't seen the full fight.
Seen the highlights, yeah.
I've seen the highlights. Michael Zarafa, congratulations to him. He has dominated that fight. Gee, I thought the ref should have stopped it, Jim.
I totally agree with you.
He was defenceless, Jeff Horn. Now, I had seen him interviewed afterwards. Thankfully, he seems to be fine and he was coherent. He was saying he's going to bounce back, etc. But he was defenceless. Michael Zarafa was all over him and he was hitting him constantly.
In fairness to the referee, and we were looking at it very closely here this morning, in fairness to the referee, when Horn stumbled against the ropes that last time that he got up before the referee stopped the fight, the referee had his back to him and was looking at Zarafa. So he didn't see the stumble. And by the time he turned around, Jeff Horn was standing upright.
What about Jeff's corner, throwing the towel in?
Well, there's the other one. But it was clear, that last flurry of punches from Zarafa, he was almost defenceless, Jeff Horn.
He was.
Knocked out in round 9. What this means for his future, it'll be fascinating. But that clearly... a shock result and a very disappointing result for the very popular Jeff the Hornet Horn.
Overnight, the Australians wrapped up that county match against Derbyshire and Mitchell Stark took 4 for. I think he's played his way back into the test team at Old Trafford. What do you think, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, this is a breakthrough moment again.
Yeah, again, because you've been against Stark since the start of the series.
I have not.
Well, you haven't picked him in the team.
Mate, what do you think? I'm the selector now for the Australian side? Mate,
okay, no, it doesn't matter. Keep going.
Go back to the text.
You want Josh Hazlewood, and I've got to say, Josh Hazlewood's bowled fantastic.
I want Stark in front of Peter Siddle.
That's right, you did too.
That's right. Okay, all right. So, yes, I'd get him back in there too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The question mark is, who do they put in from a batting point of view, and who do they leave out? Harris, 64. Usman Khawaja, 72. Mitch Marsh, 74.
I don't think Mitch Marsh gets a run.
They're talking about him instead of Wade.
I can't believe a bowling option, potentially, yeah. What about, there's been talk moving Khawaja back to open.
Yes.
But then is that unfair on Marcus Harris, who's only had one test?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So who misses out? Steve Smith comes in. Marnus Labuschagne, you got to leave him there.
Yeah, he has to play.
Yeah.
And if you move Khawaja back to open, Labuschagne probably bats 3 unless Smith puts his hand up and wants to bat 3.
Smith will bat 3.
Okay. I'd like to see Smith bat 3.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Marcus Harris deserves a second chance, personally.
So do I.
Okay.
So do I.
What's going on? It's about the fourth time we've agreed in one morning.
By the way, Raymond, we haven't been on air since that unbelievable finish to the Test match at Headingley.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
You feel I'm somehow responsible for that, don't you?
I think you said I was responsible.
I walked in on Sunday and said,
pessimism.
I'll knock them over for about 220. That'll be right.
Credit with credit. So Ben Stokes, that's one of the all-time great test innings.
Unbelievable.
Probably, you could argue it was the greatest because of the pressure he was under.
Yes.
It was just extraordinary. He looks like he just flicked the switch and away he went in that last, when we were 9 for. The game was over.
Yeah.
Somehow he's managed to score, 72 of the last 74 runs.
What was your take on the missed run out?
Oh, panic.
The use of the review?
Panic.
Right. The decision by Joel Wilson to give Stokes not out?
Terrible.
Right.
Australia panicked. Australia should have won the
Whose fault was it that the umpire got it so wrong? Is it because Australia didn't have a review up there? So everyone's saying, oh, but the whole thing was brought in to get rid of the howler, and that's a howler. But the beauty of it, and there's not much beauty in it, the beauty of it is that the blame was transferred to the Australian captain as opposed to the umpire.
Yeah.
And that was a positive.
Why is that a positive, Jim?
Because it's not the poor old umpire or the referee that's been blamed for everything.
But that umpire has made a number of terrible decisions.
I understand that.
Throughout the series.
I understand. It may not be a good idea. Because he's been arguably the worst.
Yeah. So. Hey, US Open's on, James.
I know that.
And our man Popperin's just gone on court against Berrettini in the third round, potentially get to the fourth round. Alex de Minaur got through into the fourth round yesterday, so he's going
playing
great.
Well.
He's going terrific. Nadal won earlier today in straight sets against Chung, and his favourite on court at the moment. He's up 2-1, 2-1 in the fourth.
And your man, Roger, did he get a little upset?
He did.
Oh.
Scheduling. Another issue about scheduling.
Mate, get you over there to sort it out. I can't believe that the US Open and the ATP can't speak to you about scheduling the way you're going this morning. By the way, New York Jets have waived Valentine Holmes, but so he's missed out on that squad of 53. But it looks like he's going to stay with that NFL team. They have a practice squad that he can do that. And that's around the international player
So what does that mean? Does that mean he gets to play games like in a reserve grade team or something? What does that mean?
No reserve grade over there, Ryan.
So why would an elite athlete like Valentine Holmes want to do that?
You'd have to ask Valentine that. Mm. He would be getting paid, I would think, a fifth of what he could get paid in the NRL.
Correct.
Yeah, a fifth.
Yeah.
So
anyway, he's chasing his dream. Good luck to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Big show coming up, as we mentioned. We're going to have Danielle Serb on the program. This will be a great chat, Raymond. She had a win yesterday.
Yeah, she's a terrific young lady and juggling two hats at the moment. She's training a team of six at Goulburn, and she's got a position as a high school teacher at Crookwell High.
Oh,
so I don't
cold.
Know how she gets very,
very
time poor. But anyway.
Zorb will be along. Oh, sorry, Zorb. Manly gone. And we don't just mean with Tommy T out. They're gone from the whole competition, if we believe what's written in the paper today. Michael Hawks, what did you think of the performance of Exceedance?
Exceedance was outstanding, wasn't it? I know small field, et cetera, but he did that previously on a dry track. Yesterday on a very wet track, Horses a star.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have our Event Cinemas quiz. A score update?
I don't know, James.
It's 19-15 in your favour. 19-15 in your favour. We'll have that. Jared Daffy as well. Our legend of the game, by the way, is Michael Kasperwitz.
Timely, after Headingley.
Absolutely. We'll try not to talk about Edgbaston too much in that one. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. And across our football, across the globe, will be Mr. Phil Moss.
Okay. Can I just make mention of what's been an absolutely tragic period for the horse racing industry? On Friday, very sadly, Michaela Claridge died in what seems to be a freakish track work accident. She wasn't even
terrible
on the track, just riding out on a cantering exercise along the sand trails, and somehow poor young lady, just 22 years old, has lost her life. That was tragic enough. And then yesterday, having what was going to be her very final race ride, Melanie Tindall. She has been accepted, or she was accepted, into the Northern Territory Police Force. Unfortunately, she's had an accident in Darwin Races in her very final race ride, and has lost her life. Just 30 years old, two young women dying, doing what they loved. But it's just it's unspeakable tragedy.
So, here at Koala, we're celebrating the sleep in, because life's hard and our beds aren't. Koala is Australia's highest rated mattress brand, and they're a third of the price of the big brands.
So if this ad can make thousands of people like you think about buying their product, imagine what radio advertising could do for your business. If you need results now, radio's never been more alive. Visit radioalive.com.au
today at koala.com.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And know about a horse could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide-line Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days. Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Well, Phil Rothfield's exclusive this morning re potentially the NRL cutting a team has had us debating whether the NRL actually should expand rather than cut aside.
Yes.
Buzz has mentioned Cronulla Sharks, Manly, and the Gold Coast Titans. Plenty of people have chimed in. I love this one. No name. Morning, boys. The problem is the Gold Coast, gents. It is full of drifters, retirees and people with no ties to the location. Phil Gould said it years ago. Rugby league is a tribal game and there is no tribal attachment to the Glitter Strip. That's from Stu. Really good point.
All right, there's more that's coming in here. Brett from Richmond here, not Manly, has never got a spoon. Perth needs a team. Morning, boys. On the NRL, why not have the Gold Coast as a Southeast Queensland team playing games between Brisbane and the Gold Coast? Cheers, Luke on the Gold Coast.
Mm.
Hasn't it been tried before with South Queensland Crushers? Also, one rubbish underachieving New Zealand team is enough. That comes in from Steve. So keep them coming in. We'll get to as many of them throughout the course of the morning as well. We didn't do a talk topic because of those couple of tragedies that you mentioned as we went to the break there, Roman. But we have got one for today. And I tell you what, we're doing something a little bit different too, aren't we, here on a Sunday morning, and
yeah.
Tell you what, it's fraught with danger, I must say, but heaven knows we need the ratings, so we're going to try, given it's Father's Day, some bad dad jokes.
Have you got one?
Yes, I have.
Far away.
How do you kill a circus?
No idea.
Go straight for the juggler. A minute.
That's so bad.
It's your idea.
I haven't got
I'm
one.
Ready to go with you here. All
I haven't
right.
got
anyway,
one.
So the Winx book and the Wingman beer today goes to the worst dad joke. Or best, depends which way you
want to
look
at it.
You might win it. Take the Wingman. I'll eventually get through that book too, by the way. We look forward to that.
Are you, anyway, are you handling negotiations?
Yeah, I am. I'm right in the middle of them, Ray. I'm ready to step in. Anyway, over to you,
I'll
Roman.
Pass the ball to you on the burst.
Over to you, Roman.
Race replay time, James.
Yes,
your favourite part of the
yes,
show?
Yes, sir.
I pay attention because there's some
right.
promising horses to follow. We'll start off on the first at Tab Highway. Danielle Serb will talk to her very shortly. Here's her first city winner, Assault and Battery.
Assault and Battery held together on the corner from Scarlet Missile. Euro say out deep, then Yarranup Fly from Girls Are Ready, Fortune's Path, and further back to Miss Charlie. Down to the 300, down to Assault and Battery has pushed right out. Scarlet Missile sticking on a half length away. Three further back to Girls Are Ready is running home okay, but Assault and Battery clearly the one to get now. Inside the 150, it slipped right away from Scarlet Missile. Then Girls Are Ready, and who shut zooming home with a big run late?
So there you go, Assault and Battery. Danielle Serb, we're going to have her on
Assault
the program.
Assault and Battery.
Battery
yeah.
or Battery?
We'll ask Danielle.
It's spelled Battery.
Yeah.
Bath.
Okay, Darren Flindell doesn't get it wrong very often.
No, you're spot on with that. So we're going to speak to Danielle, and there's a great story around that too. What's next for Assault and Battery? Who cares?
Mm.
Because it's the story around Danielle that's a really interesting one. And the tinge of tragedy with that too.
It is, yes. So we'll talk to Danielle very shortly. On to the feature race of the day at Rose Hill yesterday, the San Domenico Stakes. A lot of pre-race talk about this race, how good Bivouac was, could exceedance handle a wet track, et cetera, et cetera. Could exceedance handle a wet track?
And Royal Popcorn, who's buttering up for his biggest payday of his career, but already off the bridle turning, and Exceedance is coming off the heels of the leader. And a Heat Legion of the Straight from Bivouac is still cruising. Exceedance a length and a half, and Berry's flat to the boards there on Exceedance. Bivouac going after Anna Heat. Exceedance is winding up on the outside. Here comes the colt. Exceedance, he went straight past Bivouac. And Exceedance got a length in front. Bivouac, Anna Heat fight out the miners. Oh, he's a star colt. Exceedance came away to win it by two. Bivouac second just...
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. He is a star colt, isn't he? Went past Bivouac, who, and we were doing the program during the course of the week. Dave Stanley just kept telling us how much money was coming for Bivouac. Wow. Got shorter and shorter and shorter. Exceedance now for the Golden Rose. That's in how many weeks' time?
September 28th.
September 28th, so that's 4 weeks' time. $4.50. Yes, yes, yes. City Ford says yes more often. $8. And then Bivouac and Dawn Passage now at $11.
Yeah, gee, it was impressive. On to the Premier's Cup. And this horse has been racing right through winter. He's no superstar, but when it comes to a wet track, he's so hard to beat. His name is Wugok.
And Wolf on the inside, come play with me. They're drifting a little bit wide, and Wugok quickly snuck up on the inside with a minimum of fuss there. Wugok takes the lead. I think Wolf's gone. Wugok's gone to the front. Come play with me, trying to come back, and cars off with fresh legs on the outside. Wugok towards the inside. Come play with me. Cars off the outside, keeps coming. It's Wugok. Come play with me. He's digging in. A half length in front, Wugok from Come Play With Me, and the heavy track specialist does it again. Wugok won the Premier's Cup from Come Play With Me, and then came
Tommy Boy, Berry on board for Chris Waller. How many runners did Chris Waller have in this?
He had a couple of scratches. Had seven in it. Had the first five over the line.
There you go. Just amazing.
Yeah, tremendous.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I've got no. People have got issues. I've got no problem with it. It's you are who you are. If you're good enough, and trainers and owners want to send their horses to you, good luck to you.
Wugok where?
He might go to the Wyong Cup on Friday.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
He's in great form and potentially get a wet track again. And why not go around one more time? Chris did indicate yesterday he'd like to go for a spell, but if he pulls up okay, he'll head towards the Wyong Cup.
Okay.
Onto the Ming Dynasty quality. And whenever Murray Baker and Andrew Forsman bring a horse across, gee, you reckon we would have picked up on this. Hugh Bowman was riding it out at $11. How he missed this? His name is Quick Thinker.
It's Academy and Savory eyeballing each other on the corner. Reformist Aspect Ratio behind. Savory being scrubbed up on the inside and saying nailed to the fence. 300 metres to run. It's Academy and Savory locking horns from Aspect Ratio. Then Reformist Superdar still three off them. Not sure if he's comfortable in the going. Quick Thinker is. He's coming right down the outside. Quick Thinker pounced on Aspect Ratio. And the New Zealander Quick Thinker is drawing clear. Quick Thinker came away from Aspect Ratio. Reformist third, I think, Reagan.
Yeah, I understand that. So, Quick Thinker, well, we weren't because we missed the $11. So, here we go. Joining the dots on this one, Huey Bowman rides for Murray Baker, a New Zealand horse in the wet.
Everything is easy in hindsight.
How did we miss that?
And they do it every year, don't they? Murray Baker and Andrew Forsman, and he's a nice horse heading towards the Spring Champion Stakes.
Right, thank you. Answer my question.
Okay, on to Caulfield.
Yes.
And it was the first $1 million race of the new season, the Memsey Stakes. Elise was trying to show she was on track for the Everest. I don't know if she did.
Be good to your mother. 300 metres to go. Swings for home. Led by a length and a half. Dispatch Scales of Justice to the middle from Cliff's Edge. Then Hartnell the fence from Sosie Bonalise right down the outskirts. Be good to your mother at the 150. Scales of Justice dropping on it. And Elise late with Sosie Bon. Scales of Justice at the 50 takes the lead from Sosie Bonalise. And Scales of Justice. Three quarters to Sosie Bonalise. Hartnell four. Then Dispatch. Be good to your mother. Further back.
So there we go. Elise now $11 outsider for the year.
It was a pass mark. Well, you know,
right.
She got a long way back. So.
Well, is she... Who's going to run for Godolphin in the Everest?
Is she going well enough to demand that Godolphin slot? That's my point.
Bivouac at $26.
I think after yesterday, he's probably going down the pecking order. I think they're probably going to come back to a horse like Osborne Bulls if he comes up well. We won't see him until the shorts in a couple of weeks.
$7 second favourite. So, Santa Ana Lane is a definite starter there in your tab market. $5 favourite.
Okay. I've got a dad's joke.
Oh, here we go. Is that our race replays?
Yeah, finished. Are you happy with that?
Very well done, Raymond.
Why did the Scarecrow win an award?
Why did the Scarecrow? I don't know, Ray.
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Oh, hang on. This, the fix is in. The fix is in, I've got to say. 13:53:53. By the way, producer Steve has come up and said, if you have a sports joke...
A sports dad joke.
Yeah, you get a better chance of winning.
Ah, that's why they pay producer Steve the big bucks.
That's right. That's right. 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's get to Andrew on the line. G'day, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I don't have a sports joke, but we could. It is similar.
Okay.
I forgot how to throw a boomerang, and then it came back to me.
We're onto something.
I don't think anyone liked it as much as Andrew. You like that one, do you, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, well, I thought you guys would like it.
No, you're in the running, Andrew.
Very good.
In the running.
Very good.
Good
nice,
one, mate.
Nice work. Here we go. What have you done to this program this morning, Raymond?
Just before we get to the next call, I've got Aidan on the line now. Aidan, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, mate?
Bit of bad news. My pet mouse, Elvis, died last night. He got caught in a trap.
What have you done, Raymond? Thank you, Aidan. Thank you.
Anyone interpret
that for us? Could we get someone to decipher that one? It was a very thick accent, wasn't it? The Irishman rang up with a joke. Who'd have thought? There you go.
Paramat's chimed in. The constant debate about NRL expansion and relocation is becoming boring. It's a bit like the state government tossing up a new transport system every 6 months. Expand the comp, a new team in Brisbane, the Banjos, and a new team in Melbourne, the Mexicans. Paramat.
Okay. here's another one. Richard Scratcher from Newey. Morning. My dad joke. A termite walks into a bar and asks, "Is the bartender here?" That's a good one. James is on the line. We better go. James has called in from Brisbane. Here we go.
Like it.
G'day, James.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Morning, James.
Well, mate. What do you got for us, James?
Hey, mate. No, not much. I just heard you talking earlier just in relation to the expansion on the NRL.
Yes.
I'm probably of the other opinion. I come from around the Sunny Coast, but, you know, I often frequent around the few of the Broncos games every year, mate. And, I just think probably you probably base it on a bit of a business scale, I guess, in terms of the way the Gold Coast have probably conducted themselves over the last probably 2 to 3 years. And I guess their slight decline from where they were to where they are now.
Yeah.
I'd probably think that the steps they've taken, mate. First of all, I'm probably against the expansion. I probably think keep what we got,
right?
And build on, I guess, build the business model, which is the Gold Coast. I know it's probably you often think that how come the Gold Coast doesn't succeed. I guess
why doesn't it, James?
Things.
Why doesn't it work?
Yeah, mate. I'm not too sure. I mean, I obviously love going there for a weekend away and a bit of a holiday here and there. I mean, it's a great spot. I don't know. Mm. To answer your question, I don't really know.
Yeah,
it's got a great base in terms of junior sport.
Yeah, very strong rugby league area.
Mm.
Very strong rugby league area. Good on you, James. Sorry, mate. We had to keep moving with that one. It's an absolute no-brainer, a second Brisbane team. A second Brisbane team.
Why didn't the Crushers work?
They're a victim of this coming together of the two leagues, Super League and the ARL. So something had to give. One of those things to give was the South Queensland Crushers. 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's get to... Oh, dear. What have you done, Raymond?
Before Norm goes, this is hard to beat. The Irish Javelin side won the toss and elected to receive. That's brilliant.
Some very serious issues around the world of sport, and we're doing dad jokes.
It is Father's Day.
On Father's Day. Yeah. Hello, Norm.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Norm.
G'day. Very quick dad joke before I duck into Woolies.
Yep.
I was at the gym the other day, and I asked my personal trainer if she could teach me how to do the split. And she said, "Well, look, I don't know. How flexible are you?" And I said, "I can't make Tuesdays."
There you go.
We started something here.
Thank you, Norm. I'm not sure we should have. Anyway, Morning, boys. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Dad was listening to the Big Sports Breakfast. Mum was doing the crossword. Mum said, how do you spell paint? Dad replied, what colour? Manly man. This is ridiculous, Roman. Let's get to a break. Let's get to a break, and then after that, we'll try and come back with some semblance of normalcy.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly flying. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have a filly with fabulous looks by Lonro. Champion three-year-old, champion miler, horse of the year and champion sire with 83 stakes winners. From Mona Leisha, a city-winning two-year-old, our filly is a half-sister to four winners, including Group 3 place Billy the Kid. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this lovely Lonro filly at $12,925 per share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do. Thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges. Or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Whisper down the centre, followed by Ziz as he calls for Peppy. Letter length, Sylvia's mother embraced me. Spanish Whisper, still Peppy. She digs in at the 50. She's a length and a half, Sylvia's mother. Peppy, too good a class act. Second a photo, Spanish Whisper, maybe from Sylvia's mother, or embrace me then for Delia.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Just before we get to Danielle, a husband and wife were golfing when suddenly the wife asked, honey, if I died, would you get married again? The husband said, no, sweetie. The woman said, look, I'm sure you would. So the man said, okay, I would. Then the woman asked, would you let her sleep in our bed? And the man replied, well, I guess so. And then the wife asked, would you let her use my golf clubs? And the husband replied, no, she's left-handed. That's from
Paris. We better get back on topic. And this is a good topic, actually. Danielle Sieb yesterday had her first winner in town. We've got to get the pronunciation of the horse, Assault and Battery or Assault and Battery. We'll go straight to the horse's mouth, so to speak. Danielle's on the line. Danielle, good morning. And is it Assault and Battery?
Good morning, Ray. How are you going?
Yeah, terrific. Yeah. And how do you actually pronounce the horse's name, Danielle?
It's Assault and Battery.
Battery. Okay, yeah.
Battery.
Well, that's it. Well, congratulations yesterday. A fantastic achievement. Your first winner in town. And this horse deserved that win because he'd run a succession of terrific races, including a couple of highway placings going into Rose Hill yesterday.
Yeah, that's correct. He's been a very consistent horse. And he knew he'd appreciate the heavy ground yesterday. And, a fabulous run.
Yeah, beautiful. Ping the gates perfectly. And Danielle, one of the things that Ray and I were talking about off air was just the quality of jockeys in the Sydney jockey room. I guess you pinch yourself when someone like Nash Rewilla is able to ride your horse.
Yeah, that's correct. I was very happy, especially, there were questions by the form guides and things about his vulnerability over the last 100 metres in races. So to have a jockey as strong as Nash on board was pretty exciting. It's a bit of a confidence boost to have a top jockey like him on.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And your first winner in town, Danielle, I know it's a cliche question, but what were your emotions immediately after the win?
Still a little bit in shock, I think. Yeah. It was very exciting and humbling. know, very lucky to have such a nice horse. Although he's, you know, he's done it the hard way with barrier issues and everything else. But, yeah, it was wonderful. And to think today's Father's Day, I feel like he, maybe Dad got himself a present.
Can you give us and the listeners a bit of background to that, how you became a trainer? Because, unfortunately, there is that tragedy associated with it, Danielle, following the passing of your father a number of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Dad got sick 2 years ago in May, and he was fine one day, and then the next they found a brain tumour, and he went into hospital and passed away exactly a month later. Wow. We had about 8 in work, I think, and I was doing uni and I've been riding trials. So I decided I'd take over the licence and continue with university and graduate. Well, we'll graduate at the end of this year. I've just finished the degree. And, yeah, I've taken over the training. Mm-hmm. And really I started afresh about 12 months ago when I moved to Goulburn. And this was the only horse I kept with me from the team that Dad and I had. And the rest are just unraced 2- and 3-year-olds. And yeah, I kept this one. Dad picked him out as a weanling. And myself and the family have always owned him.
That's extraordinary, yeah. Danielle, I guess the obvious question is, how do you juggle both studying, which you now have completed, and you're telling me yesterday you've accepted a temporary position at Crookwell High School. So high school teaching is demanding enough, but how do you juggle that with training racehorses?
Test the patience sometimes. But I'm a bit hyperactive, I suppose, and early mornings and bed early at night, and couldn't do it without my partner. Aaron, he gives me a massive hand. He's very good with the horses and helps me in the morning and the afternoon and everything in between.
Danielle, who's more difficult to handle, a green two-year-old or a recalcitrant year niner?
Probably the year niner.
I hope they're not listening, Danielle. You might be in trouble tomorrow. What do you teach at high school, Danielle?
I'm a science teacher.
Okay. Yeah. And where did that love for science come from?
I don't know. I always enjoyed school myself, and I didn't mind science and biology and things that you apply to horse training, actually, you know, how the body works. And physiology and anatomy side of things, which at uni, you know, I did a lot about the muscular and skeletal systems, etc. So, kind of, I guess they could cross over a little bit. And
complimentary,
I saw it as a job that you could, you know, you could mix the training horses. It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
at the moment.
I understand, yeah.
Now, Danielle, from what I understand, you were going down the track of being a jockey, and you know, the timing is really difficult because of the passing that we've just had over the last couple of days. What's with Michaela and Melanie? What's your thoughts on doing that? And I guess... the feeling amongst the ranks of jockeys and racetrack riders about the dangers that perhaps sometimes get overlooked with your sport.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I had two lives taken way too early. And, I don't think sometimes the general public has enough knowledge about how dangerous it is and how much risk is involved. And it is a very a very dangerous sport, and we do it for the love of it. And you know, not especially track work riders and stable hands down the line. You know, there's not a lot of money in it. You know, I combine teaching for that matter. And we just do it because we love it. We love horses. We love racing. And it's a tragedy that you could go to work and not return. And I think the more that, you know, we look into safety and the best that it can be for the people and the horses involved is where we need to focus.
Yeah, well, you're well said, Danielle. Just following Danielle, with Salt and Bathory plans going forward now for him?
Yeah, he's going to spell now. He's been up for a very long time. He's done a fantastic job. above and beyond from a maiden at Canberra. He won by 6 and then to win yesterday in a highway by a couple of lengths. So he's going to go to the paddock and we'll be looking probably at the country championship qualifier early next year. And hopefully, we'll be heading to Randwick.
Fantastic. You've done a great job with the horse, Danielle. Congratulations yesterday.
Absolutely.
I hope it's the first of many big race wins for you, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you very much, boys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Danielle.
Danielle Seeb there, Assault and
Great
Battery.
Story, isn't it? Great story.
Unbelievable
Fantastic.
Story. On Father's Day? Yeah. Come on. You couldn't script it. 1353 53 is the open line number. Morning, Ray, Tanya, and the other guy. I was walking through the bush when I came upon a fight between a porcupine and a kangaroo. Who won, I hear you ask? The porcupine on points. That's Glenn, the Newcastle Seagull. So, and he says, oh, Manly can still win without Turbo, as they did earlier this year. Yeah, but not the semi-finals, Glenn. Anyway, they've got Parramatta next week. We'll see how that goes. Hello, men. What's the go with Lachlan Lewis? I honestly see Andrew Johns in him with his defence and ability to create time for himself. Does he need a Bellamy or a Bennett to finishing off? Yeah, so there you go. I don't see that. I've got to be honest. Mm. I don't see that. He's a fine player, and his effort's always there, and defensively he's very good, but he certainly doesn't have the creativity of those other players that you mentioned.
He plays above his weight, though, doesn't he, Lachlan Lewis? He's fantastic. And he
defensively very good.
Terrific, yeah. This is from Michelle. I tell dad jokes but have no kids. I'm a faux pas.
That's not bad.
I like
That's
it.
Not bad.
And Judy's chimed in with a bit of a recommendation for you and I, James. I think Tanya should do the introduction to the show.
Right, okay. Judy's never really positive about anything she writes.
Can't
but anyway.
Say that.
Morning, boys. Favourite memory of my dad is when he used to do this when we were kids. We'd go out for dinner. The waitress, seeing that he hadn't eaten all his food, would ask, "Do you want a box for that?" And his reply would be, "No, but I'll wrestle you for it." He was a bloody legend. Good on you, Craig. Let's go to the callers, Raymond. Rod is there. G'day, Rod.
Jimmy, Raymond, how are we?
Good morning, Rod.
Mate. We're updating last week's game.
Oh, how'd they go?
The boys.
Yeah.
Oh, they were leading 18-14. Front row makes a break. Put the fast winger next to him. He dummies and gets smashed. In the front, that same front rower gets sin bin with 10 minutes to go. She'll have a score in the corner in the last 20 seconds. Lad kicks the goal. They win 20-18.
Go on, name him.
Grandstand finish.
You're not prepared to name him. Which Blattner let the team down, Rod?
It wasn't Blattner, actually. I'll give you his name. Young Chase Signs. Got caught in the moment. But I can proudly announce that Mick Blattner, at the age of 47, will be putting her boots on again next year.
Remarkable.
Very good.
If you want to see his highlights, Jimmy, just check him out on Facebook, Mick Blattner. You'll see what he's done this year. He's pretty good for an old bloke.
Fantastic.
One of my sporting joke?
Yes.
Gold Coast.
It's actually not too bad, Rob.
And my Sharks day, well, I'll be loving me now. But I mean, it gets this the only footy I'll be looking at.
By the way, you got to stand up in the 13th minute today.
Was it? Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Paul, go on.
I've stood up my whole career. I've stood up for him enough since I started doing it, so I suppose I can do that.
Yeah. Good on you, Rod. Appreciate that. Keep the calls coming. They're there. We've got Ron on the line from Moree. G'day, Ron.
Hi, how are you, Ryan Jimmy?
Hey, morning, Ron.
Oh, big day today, Maury Cup.
That's right, yeah.
We'll have a tip for that later, Roman.
Mm. Oh, well, I've already got the winner.
Who is it?
Hey, listen.
You better tell our listeners, Ron.
Who's the winner?
Oh, it'll be the top weight, wouldn't it? Chris Lowe's, Chalmers.
Chalmers be hard to beat, yeah.
Yeah, very hard. Mm. But while I'm walking across from my house over the park to watch the whole meeting, I thought I'd compose a song about sewing machines.
Right.
Would that make me a singer-songwriter?
Oh, very good. Very good, Ron. I didn't know where you were going with that,
but you've
come
break
through
out
in the crunch.
Song.
Yeah, no, very well done.
That was a good save.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan's on the line. Wants to talk expansion. G'day, Ryan.
Hey, guys.
Morning, Ryan.
Yeah, good, guys, good. Hey, just want to talk about more so the Gold Coast rather than expansion as a side.
Yes.
Like, we look at the AFL side, Suns never made the finals, come in the same side as St. Thomas GWS, you know, two preliminary final exits, quite competitive. Now, we look at the Gold Coast, since they've come in 1988, now they had their 10-year hiatus.
Yep.
They've made the finals four times, once in a split competition, and another time from when Parramatta had the salary cap. So that's twice in 24 years. Is that good enough to stay in the competition?
Well, we don't have promotion and relegation, and some people don't agree with that. But what I think, it's hard to make an adjudication on the Gold Coast unless we have a strong side there. And that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to have a strong side there.
Mm.
And there's a lot of... And the thing that you have to remember, and not only is there that concern that the 17th and 18th team need to be funded to the degree that the clubs are being funded at the moment, you know, $13 million dollars or 130% of the salary.
It's a pie big enough to go around for two extra clubs.
But the other thing is, let's not underestimate how much money the AFL have put into the Suns and the Giants. Mm. It's not just the salary cap, and that's one of the things that all these clubs down in Victoria are upset about. Mm. How much resources, how many draft picks, how much favouritism do the Giants and the Suns get at the cost of the other clubs? Can you imagine the Sydney-based clubs saying, when you go to the Brisbane club, oh, by the way, yeah, everyone's only going to get $13 million, but we're going to give you $18 million, mm. And we're going to help you with recruitment of players, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. That's the concern.
It rankles the Melbourne clubs.
Of course it does.
AFL,
they hate
time.
It.
Big time.
They hate it. 1353 is the open line number. And just before we go to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales, I want to bring to your attention, Raymond, this joke that's come in here. Brett from Richmond, my mate had a stutter. He started to tell us about his nana. By the end, we were all singing Hey Jude. I don't mind that.
Well, this one from Fitzy. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere.
Very good, Fitzy. Very good, Fitzy. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with scratchings around New South Wales and indeed all of Australia.
Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Wyong and Moree. We have Toowoomba in Queensland and Port Augusta in South Australia. Starting with Wyong, the weather is fine. The track is a heavy 9. The rail out 3 metres the entire circuit, and there are 34 scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 1, Ilvermorny. 11, Shame Warned, and 12, Uprise, 1, 11, and 12. Race 2, number 1, Haunting Spirit, 4, Thrilled, 7, Rockaway Princess, 10, Invincible Kiss, 11, Poetic Harmony, and 12, Silk Touch, 1, 4, 7, 10, 11, and 12. Race 3, number 1, Big Talk, 2, Bravio, 6, Quingai Lake, 8, Well Known, 9, Zell, 11, Extreme Jewel, and 12, Let It Pour. 1, 2, 6, 8, 9, 11, and 12. Race 4, number 4, Jennifer, and 6, Lelude, 4 and 6. Race 5, number 7, Barnun, 8, Bedivere, and 9, Magella, 7, 8, and 9. Race 6, number 1, Love Isley, 3, Dacroix, 6, Apache Junction, 7, Roy's Command, and 8, First Courier, 1, 3, 6, 7, and 8. Race 7, number 5, Zeta's Rocket, 10, Hit the Rim, and 11, Estrado, 5, 10, and 11. And race 8, number 2, Mo the Great, 3, Test of War, 4, Star of O'Reilly, 8, One of the Kind, and 11, Django Unreined, 2, 3, 4, 8, and 11, out of race 8 at Wyong. Moree, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail true, and there are 11 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, Mr. Piquet and 7, Mayer, 3 and 7. Races 2 and 3 are clear. Race 4, number 1, Congregate, 2, Honey Valley, 5, Adele Rocket, and 12, Tiny Buttons, 1, 2, 5 and 12. Race 5, number 2, Shivadali, number 2, race 6, number 2, Kuru, and 8, Spanish Fella, 2 and 8. Race 7 is clear, and race 8, number 1, Massini, and 11, Kedachi, 1 and 11 from race 8 at Moree. And Toowoomba, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail out 3 metres from the 800 to the 400, 5 the remainder, penetrometer 4.7 and 22 scratchings. Race 1, take out 6, Juliet Street, number 6. Race 2, number 8, Kembumia, 10, A Song for Grace, and 11, Don't Look Now, 8, 10 and 11. Race 3, number 1, All Fit, number one. Race four, number eight, Bel Classico, and 10, Stormy Leo, 8 and 10. Out of race 5, number 2, Countess de Galvez, 9, 11, 12 and 13. They're the emergencies, 2, 9, 11, 12 and 13. Race 6, number 6, Felites, 8, Gilded Lion, and the emergency 13, 6, 8 and 13. Race 7, number 2, Crusher, 9, Dreamscope, and 10, Mr. Sphinx, 2, 9 and 10 from race 7. And race 8, number 4, Abroy, 9, Line Up, and emergencies 12 and 13. 4, 9, 12 and 13 out of race 8 at Toowoomba. And I hadn't pre-read them, so if I butchered any of them,
there's a few
I do apologise.
I thought you were going to go with a dad joke or something there, Tim.
I can't sing, can't tell jokes.
I'm with you. Popperin's just lost the first set, 6-4 to Berrettini, so needs to fight back here. Tips today, James Wyong, race 1, number 3, Sabona, into race 5, number 2, Arrogant. Race 1, five. Number 3, into race 5, number 2. Maury, Chris Lees could have a field day up there today. Should win the opener, race 1, number 6, Enchanted Heart. And I thought in race 7, number 5, Arletta was good value.
Race 7, number 5, Arletta, and that's for Sue Grills. And you, do you agree with Ron saying Chalmers?
I didn't mind OY in the cup, but I think Chris Lees, who trains Chalmers, could even win the first four races, Jim.
Okay, all right, there you go. We'll have those out on social media, Raymond's tips. We have got the dad jokes coming in left, right and centre. We'll keep them coming in as well. And just before we go to the news, to let you know, Zorba coming up after that, and I'll have my say about the little mention in Danny Widler's column today.
Sarah Warmby. The bodies of two men have been found in a dam in central Queensland by police divers searching for two men thrown in the water when their boat flipped. Police believe the bodies are those of the missing men aged 30 and 70 who fell from their boat on Friday afternoon at the Waroomba Dam north of Brisbane. Police say the two bodies were located yesterday afternoon. Two women were also thrown overboard but were unharmed and swam to shore. Police have charged a man with lighting a house fire, then attacking a firefighter in Sydney's northwest. Officers say they arrived at the Rouse Hill property to find the accused assaulting the emergency service respondent. He allegedly ran back into the burning home, forcing police to also enter and bring him out. He's been refused bail. A Western Australian high school is believed to have been targeted by an arsonist after a fire caused about $2.5 million worth of damages. Emergency services arrived at the Gingin District High School north of Perth early Saturday morning to find the school ablaze. No one was injured during the incident. Anyone with information is urged to contact Crime Stoppers. We are being reminded about the heightened threat of asthma now that spring is here. Hay fever is a common precursor for the potentially deadly condition. National Asthma Council Australia's CEO, Siobhan Brophy, says there are simple things people can do to keep their allergies in check.
Avoiding being outside when it's on the high pollen days and, you know, putting the aircon on to recycled, avoiding mowing the lawn yourself, those sorts of steps, simple steps you can take to try and keep yourself well during this peak season.
Also in news, a crime scene has been established after a body wrapped in plastic was found in the New South Wales Lake Macquarie area, and a jockey has died after a fall from a horse during a race in Darwin, the second in as many days. Overseas, the Bahamas are taking the brunt of the winds from Hurricane Dorian as the storm appears to be changing course northwards towards Georgia and the Carolinas along the American East Coast. A US correspondent, Priscilla Half, reports.
Dorian is a major hurricane packing winds near 150 miles per hour. The storm itself is over 200 miles across. So the National Weather Service is warning, even if Florida does not take a direct hit, preparations all along the east coast of the United States, up through the states of Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina, should continue. In addition to strong winds and flying debris, forecasters are warning that heavy rain, up to a foot or more, could cause flooding. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And it's been 22 years since the death of Princess Diana. Reporter Bud Mishkin.
It happened on a Saturday night in Paris, August 31st, 1997. Princess Diana, arguably the most famous woman in the world, and her companion Dodi Fayed were killed in a car crash, trying to avoid a horde of paparazzi. Then British Prime Minister Tony Blair spoke for his nation and Princess Diana admirers everywhere.
We are today a nation in Britain in a state of shock, in grief.
It led to an outpouring of love for Princess Diana in Great Britain and around the world.
This is Air News. Play continues on day six at Flushing Meadows, and for his update, here's Air Sports' Paul Walsh.
Men's number two seed Rafael Nadal has blasted his way into the final 16 of the U.S. Tennis Open, taking just under 2 hours and three sets to defeat Hyeong Chung from Korea. Others to advance include 19-year-old Canadian Bianca Andreescu, who was too good for Caroline Wozniacki, and Julia Gauthier over number seven seed Kiki Bertens. Matches still to come, women's number one seed Naomi Osaka up against the 15-year-old sensation Coco Gauff, Aussie Alexi Poprin currently on court against Matteo Bettini from Italy, then it's Nick Kyrgios and Andreev Rublev as the main event on Arthur Ashe Stadium. This is Paul Walsh for Air Sport.
The Sydney Roosters are in the top two after a 22-6 win over the Penrith Panthers. In the earlier game, the Melbourne Storm claimed the minor premiership. The side defeated the Sea Eagles 36-6. The Newcastle Knights won 38-4 against the Gold Coast Titans. Charles Leclerc has seized pole position for the Belgian Formula One Grand Prix ahead of teammate Sebastian Vettel, who completed a front row lockout for Ferrari. The supporting Formula Two race at the Grand Prix has been cancelled following the death of French driver Antoine Hubert in an accident on the track. And the Boomers will take on Canada in China this afternoon at the start of the Basketball World Cup, which will run for 3 weeks. Australian Independent Radio News.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Adrenaline.com.au has the perfect adventure for Dad this Father's Day. Save up to 50% from V8 racing to whale watching. Click and print, visit adrenaline.com.au. Heading through Penrith, we've got road closures in both directions for roadworks on Castlereagh Road between the Great Western Highway and Thornton Drive. Really feeling the pressure on Marsh Street coming off the M5 toward the International Terminal. And a busy run through Rozelle and Drummond on Victoria Road in both directions. IKEA is welcoming over 1,000 new products to give your home a fresh start this spring. Discover the new arrivals and pick up the new IKEA catalogue in store now. I'm Sheena Ma, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
Yeah, national weather today. Brisbane, beautiful sunny day, 26. Sydney, lovely summer, sunny day, and the start of spring, 22 degrees in Brisbane. The nation's capital, cool start to the day, but heading for a top of 19. Melbourne, partly cloudy, a chance of a shower or two, 17. Adelaide, similarly, partly cloudy, chance for shower 2, 17 degrees. Over in Perth, lovely day, top of 19 degrees. Hobart, showers and 16. And Darwin, as it always is, sunny and 33 degrees.
They say catch and pass, the props doing it. On the Ponga.
And Brisbane follow up, Fafita charges over. So two of the veterans set it up for a kid out of the creche.
That's the signal. It's Warrington's day. St. Helens.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Looking forward to taking your calls on 1353-53. You've started something, Raymond.
Yeah, it's flooding
dad jokes. They're all over the place. So we've got the Wingman Beer and the Winx book for that as well. Zorba very shortly. Michael Hawks will have the Event Cinemas quiz. Jared Daffy. And we'll have to remember to say goodbye to all our listeners in the other states. But at this point, I wanted to go through something that was mentioned in today's Sun Herald in the Danny Widler column, just talking about the program, our program, and also talking about ratings. He's been doing that the last couple of weeks. And my whole point of making mention of it last week was because I felt that they were misrepresented in the newspaper. So I'll go through this for you, and this happens every year. Origin 1, 2, and 3, top three rated shows, any channel, any genre. Same again this year. The NRL matches 30 of the top 50 shows on Fox Sports in 2019 have been NRL matches. The AFL year-on-year are up 1.4%. That was after being down 16% in 2018. Right, so they're up 1.4% this year. And part of the reason that for last year was the Commonwealth Games. Mm-hmm. Channel 7 had the Commonwealth Games, which brings us to the Ashes in 2019. Now, Channel 9, the free-to-air broadcast partner of the National Rugby League, has the Ashes. There are 12 NRL days that have been affected thus far by the Ashes, and there's another 7 to come. So the fact that free-to-air partners are broadcasting other sports has an impact on your free-to-air numbers. Mm-hmm. Streaming across 9 Now, Foxtel Now, KO and NRL Live Pass are all increased. And if we look at a longer snapshot of this, Raymond, to get a better understanding of where trends are. Since 2017, the NRL viewing audiences across both partners are up 0.6%, while at the same time the AFL are down 11.5%.
Is that right?
Across that same period. These numbers are direct from the National Rugby League.
11.5%.
And as a case in point, I'll take you to last Sunday when the Raiders played the Seagulls. We're all looking forward to that game. The free-to-air broadcaster Channel 9 had 262,000 people watching. The subscription provider, Fox League, who had a simulcast of the game that goes to 30% of households in Australia, had 256,000 people, 6,000 less than the free-to-air broadcaster. So what that says about the quality of the broadcast from Fox League and or Channel 9, I'll leave it up to you, but that's my point on that one.
Okay. To be fair to Danny, wasn't he just pointing out, though, that the NRL numbers are down, and to be fair to 9, and that would be a concern to the NRL, given that 9 has such a wide reach. So that was the essence of his point.
There's no doubt 9 has a wider reach because they're a free-to-air broadcaster.
And you want those numbers to be going up, not down.
Yes. The people who have Fox League have the option of watching Channel 9, and yet almost to the same number they are watching on the subscription provider, which is interesting of itself. Let's get to Zorba. You got a little mention as well in that column today. G'day, Zorb.
Good morning.
Morning, Pete.
Happy Father's Day, boys.
Happy Father's Day. Hey, Zorb, I've got some concerns for you, mate. Tommy T looks like he's out for the season, so Manly gone. And also, based on front page of today's Sunday Telegraph, Manly gone.
Well, you've got to be realistic. The issue from last night when Tommy went down, and then already they have one of their best back rowers in Joel Thompson out. Now they've got three other players out. They just don't have the depth to cover. Des will do a good job, but I think Manly's brave and surprising to a lot of people. Bid for a top four is certainly over for that part of what they wanted to do. Now they're going to get a home semi, and they've got to gear up and back to the wall and see what they can come up with.
Well, what about the Phil Rothfield story today, Zorb? He has mentioned three clubs that could be in the firing line. Manly's one of them, Cronulla, and also the Gold Coast. NRL, Channel 9 apparently have a plan to cut one team from the NRL.
Yeah, that's easier said than done, particularly when you're dealing with privately owned clubs that will go to court to protect their identity.
Yep.
They've paid big dollars to get a licence in the NRL. I'd say, once again, the NRL will get their backsides kicked in court.
So just on that topic then, I don't think anyone disagrees there should be a second team in Brisbane. So Jim and I have been speaking this morning, and a lot of our listeners have chimed in, re-expansionism. What's your take on potentially having two more clubs in the NRL?
Well, there's enough players to go around. I think we need to take a serious look at it, and I think give the clubs a period of time to meet the criteria that they need. I think just doing something off the cuff now because Channel 9 recommend it, I don't think that's fair pool.
No. Yeah. The end of this broadcast deal is 2022, so you could say to a side next year in 2020, hey, in 2023, you're coming into the competition. And that gives them the time to prepare. Hey, what was your take on the way things transpired up there at Newcastle? There's all sorts of rumours and innuendo flying around, Zorb.
Well, been around this game for a long time.
Yep.
And tops in business usually means flops in rugby league. The game is littered with people from the business world that thought they could bring their business acumen to rugby league and have fallen by the wayside. The embarrassing train wreck that is the 2019 Newcastle Knights simply reinforces the fact that the successful business people struggle when they switch their focus to sport and rugby league in particular. The Knights CEO, Phil Gardner, is highly respected in the licensed club industry.
Yep.
He's got a great record there. But his performance as CEO of the Knights, particularly in the last month, has been a 2 out of 10 at best. His ramblings about having every prospective coach's details on file, that was embarrassing, especially as he's already made his choice. As for the Newcastle players, they look self-centred, overrated and overpaid, despite their big win yesterday. While we're on business people in rugby league, what about the Warriors CEO Cameron George? He's been a 1 out of 10, openly blasting players and being publicly blasted by his own coach, Stephen Kearney, who wouldn't normally say boo to Casper. Think hard about business success in sport. Kerry Packer? Yes. Nick Politis? Yes. And then Daylight after that. Now, both of those multis surrounded themselves with iconic people in the game that they loved. Kerry Packer surrounded himself with people like Tony Gregg, Ian Chappell, when he went into cricket in the big way. And he was surrounded by people that knew what they were doing. Nick Politis has done the same thing since 1975, when he's the first sponsor of a club in rugby league. He's built an empire. They have got so much land as a legacy and property as a result of his business acumen that they've set up for life.
Yep.
Now, they don't have the numbers in juniors that people are crying out for to be part of the criteria, but they are the envy of every other club just about in the league. So, you know, I mean, it's easy to say, let's get rid of the clubs that don't have big boundaries. Well, I just don't think it's going to work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and speaking of Nick Politis' club, 22-6 the Roosters over the Panthers last night. They're humming along, the Roosters. Panthers, they're on life support now, Zorb.
Well, they are. And from game one this season, I keep my notes, and I said they've got a problem around the dummy half.
You did say
they've
that.
They've had four dummy halves all year. The game has changed. Having slugs at dummy half, not going to cut the mustard. Was painfully clear that Penrith were sadly lacking a live wire running number 9. They tried everyone except the Three Sisters to play them. They moved quickly this week to remedy the situation by signing Manly's live wire Appy Coruscant for 3 seasons, and Appy has been overtaken at Manly as the club's priority number 9 by young Manisi Fainu. It frees up money to keep the Turbo brothers. He's on 500,000 plus a year, so those final 2 years are going to be spent wisely by Des Hasler.
No, oh, I, I think Manasseh Fainu is an outstanding player. The rotation works well, but I'd love to see him get more game time. What happened with Will Chambers in the sin bin there, Zorb?
Well, I don't think he should have been sent to the sin bin. I had a good look at that tackle. It was up around the shoulder, but it was nothing out of the ordinary and was nothing different than a lot of tackles in that game. I think the referees overreacted, and the tackle on Goswiski was no different to lots in the game. Surely an overreaction. And once he was off on his way to the dressing room, some idiot poked his mobile phone through a gap in the tunnel, but was quickly arrested and taken away and charged. Shame it happened, but I don't think Will Chambers has got any case to answer.
No, I don't think so either. And what will happen to that fan? Will he be banned for a period of time?
Well, sure he will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be banned for probably life. It was a stupid thing to do. Mm. I mean, I think he fell for all of the hype about the Manly Melbourne rivalry, and at that stage of the game, it was all over Red Rover.
Mm. Hey, Zorb, just back to the Knights-Titans game, I wanted to ask you about Mal Meninga's and what impact he's had or hasn't had since he's been at the Titans.
Well, I remain stunned. I noticed him in the coach's box, and those two coaches have been left with a horrible job, and they've done nothing. But the decision by the 2019 Wooden Spooners, the Gold Coast Titans, to make Mal Meninga a well-paid tracksuit top boss of everything continues to be mystifying. What does he do? How many hours does he put in each week? It deserves an explanation. After all, he remains the Australian coach. I think it's embarrassing to have the Australian coach the be-all, end-all of the Wooden Spooners by a long, long way. Now, the decision, and it must have been across his desk, to sign the English international veteran, Callum Watkins.
Mm.
I mean, Watkins is way out of his depth now. 10 years ago, he would have been an elite signing. But that's not missing the bus. That's just a dumb decision.
Knee injuries everywhere too, Callum Watkins. So it is a very strange decision on that one.
Boys, how do you want your back rowers?
Back rowers?
How do you want them? Do you want the juggernauts like David Fifita, or the non-stop speed, skill, quickest play the ball in the game like Cam Murray?
You could almost have both.
Yeah.
Cam Murray is the middle forward, and Dave Fifita on the left
one.
Or left or right.
You can only have one.
I'll take Cam Murray. I think he just doesn't stop.
I'll take Dave Fifita.
There you go.
Both players lit up their games on Friday night.
Yeah.
Murray across the Tasman. It was interesting that when he was given a rest by Wayne Bennett, the Warriors went bang, bang.
Yeah.
Scored two tries with him off the field.
Mm.
He scored two tries while he was on the field. But they can't afford to give him a rest. He's such a key player now. And those quick play the balls in the finals with Damien Cook ready to run, rabbit, run. I think South are still in this. I think they'll finish top four. And I can't wait for next weekend. If you think back hard to the start of the year, South played the Roosters, and our exclusive tip on this program was South to win. I don't know if I'll be game enough to tip that next week, but that is the game of the round, and it's on a Thursday night, which is a bit stunning to me.
Well, they'll probably get plenty of people on the free-to-air broadcast on that one. By the way, Sharks win today. That's done. That's the eight done. Places within the eight. If the Seagulls lose by 11... next week to the Eels, then they will flip around. Eels will finish fifth. The Seagulls will finish sixth. And just on that, Trent Barrett finished sixth with the Manly Seagulls just two years ago with a very similar squad, Zorb.
Yeah, he did, but then he finished 15th the year after.
Yeah, but he wasn't coaching for half the time. He wasn't coaching.
He decided to hit the road.
Yeah.
It's not the club that... You know, he decided the facilities weren't good, chairs weren't comfortable enough.
Yeah, but before when he was there, he took the team to sixth.
Yeah, he did, but he had
a certain Bob Fulton on his shoulder. He didn't have him the year after.
Right, fair enough. Right, let's Zapper get to time. The Zapper. You've got a good price for this one.
And he's in form too, our man.
And you're going to say the Raiders minus 1.5, so you think they can get the job done against the Sharkies?
I'm convinced they will.
Right.
Mm. I think the Sharks have been one of the major disappointments of the year. And I think Jack White will tear them apart. They're very vulnerable around the ruts. Any side that wants to take the Sharks on up the middle can get good results. I think the Raiders at the line into the Tigers 13 plus.
Oh, Tigers!
Wow,
flat out scoring 13. The Tigers, they'll defend it.
Well, they scored more than 13 last week.
Well, that's true.
The Newcastle Knights, and I think they'll appreciate the SCG. I think Benji will turn on a show. The Dragons have been, along with Penrith, the Warriors and the Cowboys, the most disappointing teams of 2019.
Yeah.
Can't argue with you.
Raiders minus 1.5 into the West Tigers minus 12.5. That's Zorba's Zapper. You can find it under Sports Specials on your Tab app or on your website. Sports Specials there, $7.50. $7.50 for that one, so plenty of value there from the Tab. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys, if your dad's around, give him a big trouble, because I wish mine was.
Yeah, we're a bit the same. We're a bit the same. Good on you, Zorb. There he is, Zorba, with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. If you want to have your say, 1353-53 is that open line number. We'll take
just one more dad's joke.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Two aerials met on a roof and decide to get married. Mm. The ceremony wasn't much, but the reception was fantastic. It's due. They're getting worse.
A break and back with Michael Hawks.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
Aldi knows the tastiest apples don't fall far from the tree. It's how we've upped our fresh game. Our Aussie firsts.
Wow. For thousands of listeners, this advertiser is now top of mind. This brand is now in their heads. But don't worry, there's plenty of room for your brand too. So if you need results now, radio's never been more alive. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Aldi. Good. Different.
Have a look at the champ go. Feral Frankie. All eyes on the clock. He's 10 in front. All over. Feral Frankie streaks them. China O'Brien grabs second. The local hope. Come on, Duchesses. Grab third.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
So that was the Feral Frankie. Dave Stanley was up at Forbes on Friday, I think it was. Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday. Went all the way up there to see Feral Frankie. The trainer, Jack Smith, brought Feral into the pub at Fair Forbes. Income. You should have seen how relaxed the dog was.
Cult hero, that
cult dog. Hero. Won at $1.25. You were available $34. They opened up the special for the Tab $1 million chase.
Mm.
And it was very quickly snapped up. They had to shut it. But Stevie Noyce contacted the program and did it on his Tab app. Yeah. And then got the 1.4 multiplier. Very happy with that. Very happy.
A quick update in the cricket. There's currently a test match on at the moment. India scored 416. The West Indies are now 7 for 87. Bumrah has taken 6 wickets for just 16 runs. He's in his 10th over, and that includes a hat-trick, Jim.
Well, we've had Tom say he got 1 for 55 and 5 for 7 in the first test.
5 for 7, yep.
And now he's come back and he's got 6 for 16. He's got 12 for 78 in the series so
Incredible.
Far. Great numbers. 13-53-53, the open line number. Let's get to Cole's on the line. G'day, Cole.
Hey, how you going?
Morning, Cole.
Well, mate. What do you got for us, Cole?
I was driving home the other day from work and I saw a stall beside the road and it said lobster tails, $2. So I pulled up, went in, paid me $2, and the bloke said, once upon a time there was this lobster.
Oh. You like that one, Cole?
Cole, you're pretty happy with that.
Hey, it's a dad joke, and I'm a dad, mate.
Nah,
I loved it.
Good on you, mate.
Hey, Cole, have a good day, too.
Happy Father's
Day. I'm just probably not our winner.
See what Sean's got. Sean, good morning.
Hey, Father's Day. How are you?
Terrific, and happy Father's Day to you, mate.
Mate, I went to races yesterday and watched some great racing. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But the job I've got for you guys, if I have a cricket ball in one hand and a cricket ball in the other hand, what do I have?
Two cricket balls.
A bloody big cricket.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you very much, Sean. Okay. So is that a sport joke?
It is.
It is a sport joke. Okay. Hello, Steve.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really well. What do you got for us, Stevie?
I mean, I took my kids to the zoo last week.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got there, there was only one animal.
Yeah.
It was a shih tzu.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks, Steve. I think we're just starting to get a little murky now, aren't we? It's a Sunday morning program. It's very family-oriented. We're doing this on Father's Day. There's plenty of families in the car. Lots of listeners. Ray, you started this.
I did. Yeah.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, yeah. G'day. How are you?
How are you, Paul?
Good, thanks. I did a little bit of research for you on... That assault and battery.
Yeah.
Where the name came from, it was apparently there was an infamous Hungarian countess, Elizabeth Bathory, and there was a extreme rock band, black metal rock band, named after her, and they also made a film about her called The Countess of Blood, and she is. The dam was by Dracula.
Countess Bathory, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well done, Paul. You've gone deep into that.
We like those sort of things too here on a Sunday morning, don't we, Roman? By the way, Michael Hawke's coming up very shortly too, so we'll be looking forward to getting to him.
You're
now
checking out that movie, Jim.
Yeah, I am. I think the lopsided results of some matches is proof there's not the player depth for more teams. That's from Scooter.
Mm. And that was Zorba's concern, but you've got the opposite view. You think there's enough rugby league talent around.
I think you're not playing from the same pot. You're getting wider. You're increasing your attraction to players. How many more players have come from England?
Yeah, no.
Unfortunately, the money on offer in England is just not where it used to be.
Mm.
And as a result of that, and to the great
more
benefit
coming out,
of this this competition, ask the Canberra Raiders fans.
Correct.
So we'll see how that plays out. G'day, Peter.
How are you?
Morning, really
Pete.
Well, mate.
I got a couple of dad jokes. The first one is, truck driver pulls up outside the pub, runs in, he says to Mum, quick, get the publican. She said, what's your hurry? She said, I've got a load of chickens out the front going cheap. She said, how do you think they'd go? Woof, woof.
Right.
And the second one is, this is a country one, Jim.
Okay.
A young bull and old bull are walking down a country road when they spy a paddock of young heifers.
Peter.
The young bull said, let's jump the fence and cuddle a couple. The old fella says, don't be silly, let's walk through the gate and cuddle a lot.
Peter, I love your little twist on that one. I love your little twist on that one because I was worried there wasn't going to be a little twist. I was worried. But you've saved it. Well done. And we do like a country gag here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Thunder moves up on the outside. Black Magnum under the pump. Got a Thunder. Went straight past him now. And Got a Thunder forges a length clear from Black Magnum. Roosevelt not in the hunt, but Got a Thunder in the red cap is extending clear. Got a Thunder beats Black Magnum. It's a Derby Quinella.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And Got a Thunder was one of three winners for Team Hawks at Rose Hill yesterday. They also had a winner with Dawn at Caulfield. And one of those winners at Rose Hill yesterday, though, was the horse that everyone was talking about after the race, Exceedance. Co-trainer Michael Hawks is on the line. Michael, good morning. And I said at the start of the show, Exceedance made a statement yesterday, and he did for a number of reasons, Michael. Particularly now we know that not only can he reel off incredible sectionals on top of the ground, he's effective in very wet ground as well.
There you go. He, look, he's just something, this horse, he really, yesterday just honestly truly showed his authority. And what you just said was true. I think he ran over 33.5.
Wow.
On the wet track.
And, you know, 32.12, whatever it was, on a good track. So times don't lie. I know everyone goes on them, but it just goes to show how good this colt is, wet or dry. So, I know I said to Greg Bradley yesterday on the TV before, obviously his race, that was our only chink, was whether he would handle the wet track. Well, guess what? It does now.
Yeah. How close were you to not running Exceedance, Michael?
Honestly, it was all about the day and what unfolded. We had another 9 mils of rain overnight. And,
yeah.
Look, we don't really like to run horses first up on wet tracks. No one does, to be fair.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not in their best interest unless they actually absolutely love the wet ground. Now, knowing what I know now, there wouldn't have been an issue. But going forward, it's whether you do your run or don't you run. Now, obviously, there is the run to the Rose in 2 weeks' time. And it was a matter of, do we run today or do we sit back and scratch and wait?
Yep.
If we do go to the Golden Rose in 2 weeks, do we wait? If it rains there, what do we do? Do we scratch? So it was more a point of, well, we've got to find out one way or another. I know we're sort of into winter or coming out of it now, but the wet tracks may still be around. So, look, it was one of those things, as I said to Andrew Bensley on the radio, it's not something we take lightly. It's not something that we don't want to let everyone know about. It's just we've got to try and do the right thing. So. It was until probably 7:15 that we decided to run all of our horses, to be fair. And it was as late as that, honestly.
We like to get excited and get ahead of ourselves here. Exceedance is a $15 hope on the tab.com.au for the Everest. I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, Michael. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, you just said it. You're getting ahead of yourself.
I knew that was coming back straight away.
I'd like to blame Ray, but unfortunately I can't on this occasion.
Well, you got it. Look, they're only babies, these horses.
Sure.
You know? Like they've only just gone, you know, had a birthday, and they're only babies. And, you know, for this bloke, same thing. It's only his third start ever in a race. Now, he was a rating 67 before this race going into it, and he won brilliantly at Wyong, and then he ran, you know, outstanding at Rose Hill's second start. He's come back. He's still a boy. And, you know, you're asking a lot of these horses to take on the older crew, you know, your Red Zells, your Santa Ana Lanes and those sort of horses. You know, they're hard, tough season horses. And, you know, it's a lot. You're asking babies to do a lot. And we've seen it before with young horses. I think it was the filly that ran in the Everest. And they're just not seasoned enough. So, yeah, next question.
What do you reckon about that, Jim? Are you happy with that, Jim? Or?
Oh, I am. I just think Vivawac was a horse mentioned about for that Godolphin slot. He got flogged by Exceedance.
He's trying hard.
Anyway, let's move past that, Michael.
Look, you know, when they're babies, they're 3 months. You try and keep them in their own age group. And
sure.
He's an exciting colt. There's no doubt about that. He really is. He put pay to him yesterday, and, you know, you just said it, what he done with Bivouac and the others. And you can only beat what's in your race. But, you know, he was the benchmark. He was the horse that was talked about, the group horse, I suppose. And, he got spanked.
Golden Rose, Michael, it's September 28. Potentially there's a couple of options in between. Is that the likely target now for Exceedance?
Oh, look, it's always been there, Ray, in the Cornwall. And, you know, as I said, we don't like to get ahead of ourselves, and it's not that we don't like to tell anybody. It's about we wanted to see where he's at. Now, he won so impressively yesterday, he's just got a blistering turn of foot on wet or dry. The thing is, where do you go? Do you keep him at sprints, or do you step him out to a 1400 Golden Rose or possibly a mile Guineas? These are the things that we have to be talking about as far as ourselves knowing what's best for the horse going forward. So he's just got this pussy turn of foot. You know, he might be too brilliant to go further for a mile or 1400. But look, the Golden Rose path is still there. The Cornwall is still there. And, you know, more than likely his next run will be the 1200 metres run to the road. That's not 100% confirmed, but, you know, that's more than likely his next run. And then I dare say that will really determine which sort of path we go, being 1200. So yeah, we're not saying no, we're not saying yes. And it's not, to everyone listening, it's not that we don't want him, you know, to elaborate on where we're going. We're trying to do the right thing for this horse. He's a valuable colt now. You know, he's another one that we've made that'll end up going to stud.
Yeah.
And, you know, these colts, you've really got to tread lightly and place them in the right races where they can win to try and get their stud value. And that's what we're doing with this boat now. So nothing's changed. Nothing has ever changed with how we operate, and it'll still be the same. So both those races are on the agenda, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Michael, just a quick one. He's only likely races you've mentioned. He didn't start until deep into his two-year-old season. Had he always shown you that acceleration and that ability, or was he just a late maturer?
No, he'd always shown it, Ray. And I spoke to Peter Orton early days and said, look, I think we've got a nice horse here. And he just kept going shin sore. He was just a baby and just needed time and time. And look, for anyone who looked at him yesterday, yes, he looked magnificent. He looked great in the coat. But in saying that, he's still a baby. He still looks a bit boyish. You're not going to see the best of him until the autumn. You really won't. And he's just an exciting horse. He steps out. He just takes everything on board. He was a little bit fresh yesterday. He had a bit more of a look around, I suppose. But then again, he's maturing at the same time. So he's definitely on his way. And he's definitely shown us that he can match it with the better of them anyway.
Mm-hmm. And just before we let you go, mate, I want to make mention of Grey Worm. Looked to be all over the place on the turn. But, gee, stuck on.
We had a mixed bag yesterday. It was actually one of those days, do we run or don't we run? And, you know, Grey Worm especially, Bossy said he didn't really handle it. It was another one that we didn't know.
Right.
And when he got out to the middle of the ground, Bossy said, look, he wasn't going to run anywhere. He was just going up and down the one spot. And then when he found sight of that horse when he got near it, he said he just wanted to charge and be a racehorse. And that's what got him over the line, even though he didn't handle it. You know, Desert Lord didn't really handle it either. His wheels were spinning, but it just showed how brilliant of a run it was because he actually still wanted to hit the line. And he's looking for further. And then even God of Thunder, you know, you heard at the start of the preview, you know, Darren Flindell calling his race. Like, it was a muddly run race and he was all over the place. But, you know, to Brenton's credit, he didn't panic and he just let him get in the zone. And that was the last thing I said was just make him, you know, get on the bit the whole way and teach him and really, you know, the last 1500 attack the line. And he done that. Had he gone for him earlier, he would have been legs all over the place and he wouldn't have probably won with authority like he did. So
it was a
mixed bag. Yesterday, even Dawn in Melbourne, she went super. You know, she should have won here at Rose Hill, first up, and she just got held up for two strides, and it was a magnificent win. So, look, it's all about placement, but more importantly, we've known a few more, I suppose, chinks in horses' armours that they do handle the wet ground.
Yeah. Great day for the stable, Michael. Well done. Congratulations for the team, and appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
We will
be
following Exceedance, by the way. $4.50 favourite for the Golden Rose. Yeah, we've got more dad joke. By the way, he's down two sets to Love, Poprin against Berrettini. We'll have Roger Brashid on the program after 9 o'clock to give us all the latest scores. Our legend of the game, of course, is Michael Kasparich, and we're going to look forward to that. Dad joke's coming in from all over the globe. The assistant coach of the Australian cricket side, would you believe, has texted in a dad joke.
You got to give it a run then.
Brad Haddon says, what do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? A stick. I'd have thought, Brad, there's more things to worry about over there in England.
No, he's happy. Got his bowling attack sorted. They must have their batting lineup sorted.
Well, he's listening, so tell him again, Ray. Should Stark play?
Stark should play.
Stark should play, right. We're going to take a break.
Brad Haddon's going to listen to me.
Seriously. He's listening to the program.
We're going to take a break. After the break, we've got back with a quiz. Score update?
Is it 19:15?
It is. Yes. Rays in front. Yes. Come on, I need a winner. Call now, 13:53:53.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the four juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Can you meet you in front from microphone of Liar?
And the stallion making Group 1 sired produce.
And microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English sire!
Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do. Thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges. Or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Birraghetti, the hero for the Central Coast Mariners. Two big saves down to his left. It's the Central Coast Mariners who are into the last eight.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Central Coast bias of panel operator Hamish coming into play there. ZZ Top is coming to the big screen, Ray. Witness the story of how three oddball teenage bluesmen became one of the biggest, most beloved bands on the planet. September 4th and 9th, see ZZ Top, that little old band from Texas. Mm. It unravels the extraordinary tale of a band whose image we know, but whose story we don't. Cinebuzz members, they can see it for just $18. Head on over to eventscinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. I didn't know Prakash was into his ZZ Top, but he's obviously
the bloke with
that.
The beards.
Yeah, that's
can you
right.
Grow a beard?
That's right. Can I grow a beard?
Yeah. Okay. Have you grown one?
No. Oh. There's a little bit of ginger in there, Ray. I
can't
that
grow
out.
One. Yeah. Mine's embarrassing. Right. I have bits missing.
Okay. Like, all right.
Time costs time. Pressure's on. Producer
okay,
Steve.
Producer Steve, here we go. Whose call is it, Ray?
You call.
You call.
Okay. Okay. Tails.
Oh, it's ahead. Okay, Raymond.
Tip and I get one.
You can go one.
Yeah,
thank you, Steve. Oh, you want your $2 back. There you go.
You don't take his money.
All right. Over to you, Raymond. Player one.
Okay. I think we've got Irene on the line. Irene, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day, guys.
Good on you, Irene. And I hope you have a great day. Hey, Irene, how are you feeling? Confident?
Always confident.
Okay, here we go. Here's question number one. Where was Australian Test cricketer Marnus Labuschagne born?
Oh, my God. I don't even follow cricket.
Okay. Marnus Labuschagne. Am I saying that correctly, Jim?
Don't get an ABC.
There's no multiple choice, but what do you think, Irene? Just stab in the dark. Just any country. Yeah.
England? India.
Oh,
India.
No, it's actually
right.
From
you
South
want
Africa.
Go? Keep going.
Now, we'll get this one right. Here we go, Irene. Question number two. In which sport would you use the term bilateral breathing? Now, it's multiple choice, Irene. A, is it karate? B, swimming? C, weightlifting?
I was going to say swimming.
Outstanding, Irene. Yes.
You were going to say it. What were you then?
She did say it. I'm jumping in before she changed her mind.
Exactly.
Question number three, Irene. Where is the International Cricket Council based? A, is it Delhi? B, Durban? C, Dubai?
A?
I would have gone to Delhi. Valley too. It's actually in Juba. I didn't know that.
Yeah, based in Dubai. So
Stay in the line, Irene. One's okay. Good score. We're in the game. We're in the game.
All right, Clint's on the line. G'day, Clint.
Hey, mate.
You ready to go, pal?
Ready to go.
All right. We'd love a win here. Question one. Where was English cricketer Ben Stokes born?
New Zealand.
Solid start for our man.
It's a strong start. In which, question two, this is a multiple choice. In which sport would you use the term pie chucker? Was it A, shot put, B, basketball, or C, cricket?
Cricket.
Oh, rock solid, Clint. Stop the fight.
Oh, that's so satisfying. Where do you live, Clint?
Bathurst.
Bathurst. Where's the nearest event cinemas to Bathurst?
Oh, probably Sydney.
Well, sounds like you're down on Sydney, Clint. Fair, come on, mate. Make sure you get out to the Bathurst Leagues Club too. There, it's a good one.
I'm sure Clint would know about it. You to tell him.
A mate of mine's dad used to manage it. That's what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you go to Bathurst Leagues Club, Clint?
I do, mate. Our cricket club sponsored by them.
Oh, there you go. Well done. Well, mate, stay on the line. We're going to send you out a couple of tickets to a cinema that's about 300 k's away. Okay,
so just over the mountain.
Thanks for that.
Good on you, mate.
Well done, Clint.
The all important thing that was a huge break that you had on me.
It was. You trimmed it back a little.
Trimmed it back a little bit. 19 points to 16. So 16. We do appreciate that. 1353, the open line number. I reckon our man from TAB has got himself a dad joke. I'm not going to put too much pressure on him, but I'd be very surprised, given how much he listens to the program.
Yeah, put the pressure on the poor guy.
If he didn't have a dad joke ready to go. Good morning, Gerard Daffy.
Morning, boys. Jimmy, did you know the first French fries weren't actually cooked in France? They were cooked in Greece.
I knew he wouldn't let us down, Raymond.
That's actually pretty good.
I knew he wouldn't let us down.
One more.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Hang on, yes.
I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. That's it, no more.
Does Jared win or what?
Oh, you can't win the wingman beer and the wing sport, can you?
Well, I've got an event cinema near me.
Oh, very good, very good. Hey, mate, if the Sharks win today, that's it for the top eight.
Yeah, it is. $2.05, $1.80 Canberra. Quite a good betting game, as you would expect. You could put reasons up why you could back both sides. And West Tigers, well, mathematically, they're still there. Been plenty of money for them today as well, $1.72. $2.15 for the Dragons. So I guess it'll be interesting to see what punters do if the Sharks do happen to win today. But fascinating end of the round. We've still got a round to go, but fascinating end of the season, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Dragons-West Tigers game, sorry. Jerry?
Yeah, $2.15 Dragons, $1.72 West, and plenty of money for West there. Obviously, on the back of Tommy Turbo's injury, there's been some fairly decent moves with Manly outwards.
We've
got the Roosters at $2.50. Melbourne 3.25, Canberra 7, South 9, and really, the price has doubled. Manly were $11, I think. They're 21 now, 26 Parra and Cronulla 34 for the Broncos.
Oh, sorry, mate, can you repeat that?
Yeah.
The difference in Manly from when Tommy T was available and then unavailable?
Double the price.
Wow. And just on that, Jared, the money for the Premiers, can you tell us, is it primarily Storm, or is it now Roosters?
It's been Roosters for several weeks, right?
Okay.
It's actually a good point you raise because, of course, Melbourne wrapped up the minor premiership, but a couple of their wins have been a bit scratchy, and the Roosters are running into some red-hot form, aren't they? I know they had a couple out yesterday, but they're the money side. They've got to break a few records. Is it 92, 93 the last time a team won back-to-back?
Broncos,
yep.
So they've got to do it, but you think in the form that they're in, and punters are really impressed because this week most of the money has been with them at the $2.50. That's what price they were on Monday, and that's what price they still are now.
Fair enough. US Open tennis is on as we speak. Jared Popperin's on court. He's down two sets to love, 2-1. And he's actually down a couple of break points here as well. Betting on the US Open, particularly for the Australians, Alex de Minaur is through to the fourth round, Jared?
Yeah, he is actually. We've got a couple of good ones coming up. We've got one to get underway very shortly, Monfils and Shapovalov. And not much in the betting here, right? Monfils 135, Shapovalov at $2.05. Schwartzman's $1.24 in his match. But, of course, the big one is later this morning. Our man Nick Kyrgios, $1.45 up against Rublev at $2.70.
So the betting says that he should win, but who knows? So with Nick, to win the men's title, there's still this, well, it's not a niggling doubt, it's a big doubt on the fitness of Djokovic. He's the favourite, but he's a very, very easy favourite now out of 250. Nadal into 280, Federer into 7. Kyrgios is only an $11 pop now, and Medvedev, he's still well and truly in commission there at $13. So Djokovic, he's not 100%, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens then going forward. As far as the women's are concerned, we've got one game to come there, Naomi Osaka. It looks like she's overcome those injury concerns that she had. She's been $1.30 into $1.22 to beat Gauff, who's at $4.20. And that market to win the women's title, I think we've got Serena at around about the $3.50 mark as this screen opens up. She is $3.50. Bianca Andreescu at $6, second favourite now. Ash Barty at 7, Carolina Pliskova at 8, and Naomi Osaka 9. Madison Keys at 10 is pretty much where the interest ends there. The rest are $17 or better.
Yeah, no doubt. Boomers in action tonight?
They are. It's a good time, Jimmy. First cab off the rank, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, they did play Canada a couple of weeks ago in a friendly, and Canada got the chocolates there, if I recall. They're $3.30 outsiders, however. Australia did open at 140 in this game. They're into $1.34 now, and the line there is 6.5 points, with most of the money for the Boomers, as you would expect.
Yep.
The other game that's created a fair amount of interest is Czech Republic v USA. They're unbackable to win the USA, but the line had opened at 32.5 points, but there's been pretty good support for the plus there for the Czech Republic. There it's into 29.5 points now, so it's moved 3 points. So that one gets underway at 10:30 tonight. We've got all of those other matches open for tonight and tomorrow night as well.
Terrific. EPL, two more games to finish round four. Liverpool went up 3-0 again, Jimmy, just to make it four straight wins the season, James.
Are you still hating on Liverpool, Jimmy?
Yep.
They'll never change. But Everton play Wolves, and this is a good game. Arsenal v Tottenham overnight.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones tonight. Everton at 2:20, and we've got a draw there at 3:10, and Wolves at 3:50. And in the other game, Arsenal at 2:30, a draw there at 3:50, and Tottenham at 2:80. Actually, looking this morning, most of the early interest has been in Tottenham at the 2:80, but you know, two matches there that could go any one of the three ways, quite clearly.
Yeah. Hey, Jared, I want to ask you, mate, we're just about to start an NFL season. How are we looking for that? It just seems, and I'm talking from a popularity point of view in Australia and also reflected in the holds, it's just the rise and rise of the NFL. Is that? Have you seen that? I know we're a while out.
Yeah, look,
first week
it
out.
It is, and realistically, it's the same with all American sports. It's quite incredible, younger generation, how much they know about these sports over there.
Yep.
They're very, very stats-orientated in the US, as you would know. The other thing, too, of course, is you can watch it all now. That package that the NBA have where you can watch every game, I think it's only for $60 a season. And I know the red zone is gone, unfortunately, from ESPN for us this year, but... you can view all those games. It's quite fascinating watching the live betting on it as well.
Yeah, right.
To win it, we've got Kansas City and New England, the favourites there at $8. Actually, the money has been with Kansas City. I think they were open $14 or $15. New Orleans at $9. And, of course, one of the teams that we did have in the market who now aren't on the back of Anthony Luck being out of business or giving it away temporarily, the Colts. They've been 15 out to 34, so it looks like it's curtains for them. But plenty of futures markets open. We've got the round one matches open. We've had them open for many, many months now. So, yeah, next Friday morning it all gets underway.
Fantastic. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
See you, guys.
Jerry there from TAB. And just quickly, if the Tigers win both games and Brisbane lose next week, they leapfrog the Tigers.
Right.
So my mistake on that one. Let's get to the callers there. Darren's on the line. G'day, Darren.
Good morning, guys. How you going?
Really
morning,
well. Darren. What do you got for us, Darren?
You know the character Ben 10?
Yes.
You know who his father was?
No.
Glenn 20.
Thank you, Darren. Genuine non-winner there with that one. Gary's on the line. G'day, Gary.
I want people to ring up.
Jim and Ray.
Good morning, Gary.
Jim, it's only opinion, but I'll be very quickly on a couple of points. With the Roosters, if you go set to set with the Roosters, you can't beat the Roosters.
No.
So I think you've got an unconventional kicking game, similar to Glenn Stewart in the grand final against the Warriors, that type of kicking game, to get away from their muscle memory with the Roosters. I'll push them aside. Now, with Manly and Melbourne last night, I was at Brookie, Lotto Land.
Yes.
And Melbourne speed with the ball was unbelievable. So the opposition's got to match that speed in attack. Mm. They were incredible. And with Manly, I thought the Raiders didn't help them the week before. I didn't think Manly were physical enough to back-to-back physical games. That was their problem with Manly. I move on. Now I've got the answer for the Titans.
Yes.
Now, what you've got to do with the Titans, you've got to buy players with a mindset. Regardless how the game is, they're still cracking away. And two players jumped to mind. One is Jackson from Canterbury, and one is Fafusi from Melbourne. Those two players will keep chipping away. You've got Jai Arrow. That's your foundation. And then you go forward from there. Now, with Ash Taylor...
Yes.
I'm a fan of Ash Taylor. He's got a problem. He's a half a step in front of his teammates, and he gets frustrated. What Ash has got to do is take a step back and bring them up to get all go together.
Okay, Gary, we've got the news following us. We've got the world according to Gary there, which is actually Ryan Pappenhausen at the back and Brodie Croft out of the halves with Hughes in there. Jerome Hughes, I think, is a stronger Melbourne side.
Interesting. Yeah. I think Pappenhausen does add a lot to their attack.
They're definitely a faster side.